I'm Aiden Christman.
I'm Dugan Ohana.
And I'm Charlie DeSassery.
And you're listening to Hot Button Poppers. Today we are presenting the two opposing opinions of whether state or federal government should be able to regulate which books are censored in American public schools. Books are vital to children's education, so deciding which are to be read in schools is more impactful than you might believe. Dugan holds the opinion that the federal government should regulate banned books, while Charlie believes that the state should control what is allowed in school. But I have yapped enough. Time to let the two take it away.
Thank you so much, Aiden, for having me, first of all. I mean, come on, guys, books? They're pretty cool. I mean, we are seeing the side effects of letting all the states regulate and control books, and it's honestly, it's pretty terrible. For example, Tennessee banned Harry Potter, the whole series.
They ask you how you are, you just have to say that you're fine.
Is that serious? That's the best book ever written by a British person, first of all. And first, states, education boards banning books violates the First Amendment, 14th Amendment, and Title IX rights of all students and teachers. They're also having a disproportionate effect on people of color and LGBTQ individuals.
Now that's a lot of damage!
Also, according to the Constitution and First Amendment, people have freedom of speech and religion. To limit that is to violate their fundamental rights. While education may not be a fundamental right under the Constitution, the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment requires that when a state establishes a public school system, no child living in that state may be denied equal access to schooling. Thus, you cannot be banning books. Since literature is an expression of free speech, for states to limit it is quite unconstitutional. Additionally, under the Commerce Act, for any state to limit the reading of certain books, that means they are limiting trade of certain materials. Thus, prevention of certain materials lies in the hands of the government under the Commerce Clause.
Those are some very interesting points. Looking at it from a commercial aspect certainly shines a different light on the situation. Charlie, what do you think of this?
I don't think that is the whole story. I've done some grueling research, and I think Dugan has it all wrong. State governments should have complete control over what books are banned. According to ALA.org, the American Library Association, 30% of books are challenged by parents, 28% by patrons, 17% by religious or political groups, 15% by board and administration, 3% by librarians and teachers, 3% by elected officials, and 4% by other groups, people without library cards, non-residents, etc. What does this mean, you might ask? Well, of course, parents are taking the initiative in banning these books. That means that there is something in the books that they don't want their children to see, or rather read. Whether it be against their own beliefs or words, they don't want their children to read what they deem irresponsible to have their children read. Take a look at Texas. In Texas, there have been 2,349 challenges for books. And national polling data revealed that majority of Americans oppose the anti-public education movement, which involves policy decisions that perpetuate discrimination and inequity in education by cutting or reallocating funding dedicated to public schools toward private or alternative schooling structures that tend to benefit the wealthy. We have such a large and diverse country, so according to Brutus 1, how can such a small number of elected federal officials represent each state's specific needs and values? If parents from each state are challenging these books, then it says that these books don't belong in those respective states. We can't rely on a small number of wealthy people to represent each state.
All right, Charlie, we got it. With all due respect, I really don't care what the parents want. Under the Commerce Clause, it states that a state cannot ban a piece of commerce. Since books are a piece of commerce, that's for the federal government to choose, and that's a federal right. Get that in your head.
All right. Well, if we look back at the United States versus Lopez decision, we can reasonably infer that banning books does not have a lasting effect on the economy.
It's a piece of commerce, though. I could sell you a book for $20. That's for the federal right to understand.
Books are bought and sold. Thus, it is commerce. Come to your senses, please. This is a matter for the federal government to regulate.
If a book is deemed dangerous and threatens the American people or government, then the federal government has the right to step in and say that is not allowed to be bought and sold throughout the United States of America.
Now, you've all had a chance to hear both sides of the story. Should the national government or state government decide on the issue of banned books in school? We have taken a deep dive into the arguments, running through specifics from documents like the First and 14th Amendment, as well as the Commerce Act. But in the end, we inevitably came to a consensus to side with the federal government on this one. Literature is considered an expression of free speech, which is covered under the First Amendment, and the Commerce Clause states that the federal government has the power to regulate interstate commerce, to which the selling of books falls under. If certain books are banned in schools, then that affects the economy and thus is under the federal government's control. This just about wraps up here at Hot Button Poppers, and on today's episode, we learned that the power of the Constitution and the amendments takes precedence over all else and should be the first thing to review when at a crossroads of opinions. We also learned that interpretation of the Constitution is very important in these issues and helps us better understand the controversy around the Elastic Clause, as a lot of power is placed in how we view certain things stated in the Constitution. Thanks for joining us today. Signing off, I'm Aiden Christman.
I'm Dagan Ohana.
And I'm Charlie DeSessor.
And come back next time for another button-popping debate.